New Testament Christianity is on the air. This gospel broadcast is designed to exalt Jesus Christ in original biblical Christianity. It is our desire to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And now, your evangelist Ray Bennett of Delmarva Evangelism, Mr. Bennett.
As we broadcast New Testament Christianity in the year 2007, the emphasis is going to be identical with the emphasis in 2006, and that is, we're emphasizing evangelism. We're emphasizing carrying out the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. Jesus told His disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And then He said, "He that believeth and is baptized," that word baptized undeniably means immersed, "he that believeth and is immersed shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Then on that great notable day of Pentecost, when the first church of Christ was founded, long before Romanism, Eastern Orthodoxy, and Protestantism, long before congregations named after men and systems of church government and doctrine, long before denominationalism, Protestantism, Romanism, all the isms, long before that, the Great Commission was being carried out on the day of Pentecost, and the people were convicted of their sins. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And God reached down from heaven with His Holy Spirit, and He inspired the Apostle Peter and the other apostles. And the answer to that question, "What must I do?" was clearly given. And it's the same answer that God is giving today. The Bible says, "Repent and be baptized." That word baptized means immerse. All the scholars agree on that. Repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so as long as we have breath in our body, those of you that are on praying terms with God, we want you to pray that we'll be faithful, that we'll use our last breaths in preaching no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. If there was ever a time when evangelism was needed, it's today. If there was ever a time when revival was needed, it's today. It was very distressing back over the holiday season, where the people talked about consuming alcohol, and when it came to New Year's, the thought of Christ, Christianity, dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't even in the vocabulary. And listening to the news and the networks, you were almost odd if you weren't going to indulge in alcoholic drinking. And then you were the best guy in the world if you agreed not to get drunk and you would stay sober and drive all the drunks home. My, how far we have gotten from the Word of God, and how far the children of Israel got from Almighty God. You remember how that the Lord led them out of Egypt with a high arm. They rebelled against God even in Egypt, and before Moses ever got them out of Egypt, God wanted Moses to step aside, and God was going to destroy His people because of their sin. But Moses interceded, and he called out on God, and he said, "What would the Egyptians think if you destroyed these people? It would all be for naught." And so God withheld His judgment. Then when Moses got the children of Israel out in the wilderness, they complained and they murmured. And again, God wanted Moses to step aside. God said He was going to destroy them. But Moses interceded again and said, "What would the Egyptians think? What would the people around about think if they were destroyed? It would all be for naught." And so God's judgment was held back, and God allowed Moses to continue on with the people. But God has had to deal with sin and rebellion all down through the years. But He's made it plain that there'll be a judgment day when it comes to sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says the soul that sins shall die. And the word sin means miss the mark. And if you bib in alcohol, and you're a wine bibber, and you're a Pabst Blue Ribbon bibber, and you're a beer bibber, and you're a gambler, and you scratch off the lottery tickets, and you curse and you swear, you're living in sin, and you are missing the mark. And of course, you'll be judged and condemned on the judgment day. Where did this notion that you could drink all you wanted to and still be a Christian, where did that notion come from? Well, I could tell you where it came from. The letter begins with H, and there's four letters in the word. That's where it came from, this notion that you could live in sin and still be saved, and it didn't matter what you would do, you would still be saved. God expects us to be faithful. He expects us to be true. He expects us to demonstrate our Christianity. He expects us to strive to live holy lives. I know we're going to sin. We're going to fall short, all of us. But we've got to repent, get up, and go again and strive to be what God would have us to be. When the children finally got into the promised land, the children of Israel noticed that the Philistine had kings. The Amorites had kings. The Hivites and the Jebusites and the Amalekites, they all had kings. And so, like little children, they said, they've got kings. They told God, and they let it be known to God's officials and leaders that they wanted a king. God warned them what would happen if they got a king. God was jealous immediately. He didn't want them to have any king but He Himself. But they rejected God, and they turned their back on God. They never turned their back on Moses, but on God, when they wouldn't keep God alone as a king. But no, they said, in spite of the warnings, we want a king. And so God said, go ahead and let them have a king. I'm thankful for a Bible scholar years ago by the name of Henry Haley, a New Testament preacher. And he has, in his book, Haley's Handbook, a synopsis of those kings of Israel and Judah. And how right God was. God says, if you get a king, he'll take your women folk and he'll make maidens out of them. And he'll take your men to be his servants and to tend to his horses. And he'll call your men to fight his wars. And he told them that they would practically become slaves to the king. But they said, no, we want a king. Their heads were hard as the sinful heads of the people of the United States and the people that are living in sin around the world. They wouldn't have it. They had to have it their own way. But my friends, there's going to be a judgment day sometime. My, how God was right. As we look at a rundown of the kings of Israel, Jeroboam, Nabad, Baasha, Elah, Zimrah, the first five kings were bad. The next one, Omri, was extra bad. Ahab was next. He was the worst. Ahaziah was bad. Joram and Jehu, according to Brother Haley, were mostly bad. Jehoahaz and Joash were bad, as were Zechariah, Shalom, Mehanim, Pekahiah, Pekah, and Hoshea. That reigned 9 years. They were bad. And then the kings of Judah. Rehoboam was mostly bad. Abijah was mostly bad. Asa was good. Jehoshaphat was good, but Jehoram and Ahaziah were bad. Athaliah was extremely jealous and devilish. Josiah and Amaziah were mostly good, as were Uzziah and Jotham. But Ahab was wicked. Hezekiah was the best. Manasseh and Ammon were among the worst. Josiah brought about a revival. Then Jehoahaz was bad. Jehoiakim was wicked. Jehoiachin was bad, and Zedekiah was bad. And so God was right when He warned them what was going to happen when we look at the overall wickedness of those kings. Isn't it interesting, on an occasion, in a world of wickedness and sin, you'll see a young man carrying his Bible. My, he may have on a shirt and a tie, and he prays, and he is cut above everybody else. He doesn't drink, he doesn't swear, he doesn't run with the ones that do. He is cut above. He simply wants to serve God and follow God. Well, Hezekiah was a young man like that. When he came to the kingship, his father had been wicked, and his son after him was going to be wicked. But Hezekiah, as a young man, feared God and loved God and brought about one of the greatest revivals that Israel ever had. It's recorded in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 7. We hold revivals every year with the Scuppernong Church of Christ in eastern North Carolina. We have one coming up. I remember about 20 years ago, I guess it was, a young man came in, actually a little boy. I'm going to say he was about 5 years of age. He had his shirt and tie and coat and had his Bible that was nearly half as big as he was. Came up on the left-hand side of the building as I was looking out from the pulpit, and he would sit there and read his Bible and pay attention. My, when we would go back the next year, he was a little taller, but here he would come with his shirt and tie and his dark suit, and he would have his Bible in his hand. Unbelievable, a young boy that was desiring to serve God above every other thing. Well, the years went by, and some time ago I got a call from Missouri asking me for a revival. And it's this young man. He's graduated from Bible training. He's dedicated to Christ. And now Daniel Davenport is an evangelist of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for one once in a while that will come along and be head and shoulders above all others and stand for the truth and stand for righteousness. That's the kind of man that Hezekiah was. As I look at this man Hezekiah, I'm reminded of how wicked his father Ahaz was. Jotham, his grandfather, was a fine man and a good king, and it's sad that after Hezekiah brought about this great revival, this great powerful evangelistic revival in Israel, his own son undid nearly everything that he did because he was a wicked king. His son was wicked, and then came Josiah, and he brought about another revival. My, we need leaders that will bring revival. Leaders that will not be ashamed of Christ. Leaders that will not be ashamed of Almighty God. In my own beloved country of America, I'm ashamed that people in high office, in order to gain popularity with so many people, they're denying Christ. They're minimizing their faith in Christ. They won't come out publicly and say, Jesus Christ is the only hope of the world. And so we have a political breakdown, a moral breakdown, an educational breakdown, a total spiritual collapse around the world. And the hope that we have is for men like Hezekiah to come to the front, to leadership, and bring about a true, genuine revival. My, how we need a revival in my home country, America. And wherever you're tuning in on this broadcast in Western Europe, you need a revival in your country. The kind of revival that's not based on the religion of your choice, or the faith of your choice, or the church of your choice, or the doctrine of your choice, or the leader of your choice, or the preacher of your choice, but based on the church of Christ's choice, based on the message of Christ's choice, based on the truth of Almighty God. That's the kind of revival that this nation and that this world needs. As I look at 2 Kings chapter 18 and verses 1 through 7, there are no less than 9 areas where Hezekiah brought revival. And in the next week or two, we want to deal with them. But let's read, first of all, beginning with 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And I want you to listen, Bible believers, to these 9 areas where Hezekiah brought about revival. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, did. He removed the high places and broke the images. He cut down the groves. He brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord, God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. We'll tune back in on this theme, Hezekiah's revival, next week, but God bless you. Go with God. Pray that Hezekiah will come in every nation of the world and bring about an awakening and a revival, and if you're not a Christian, repent. And be baptized and start living for God. Be tuned in next week. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for Jesus and the gospel. Thank you for the privilege of preaching New Testament Christianity. And help people humbly and loyally to submit to the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational, Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more Heaven High, Hell Deep, and Worldwide Shotgun Barrel Straight Preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware 19966, or call 302-542-3744.